on the line now. I have Ciara Nee, director and producer. Hello, good morning to you, Ciara.
Good morning, Noel.
I have to say, reading up on this synopsis that I have, it's intriguing, and it's on the Dublin Fringe Festival. Tell us about it.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad you're intrigued. I'm just after taking a break. I'm sitting up on Harcourt Street. So this is where the event is on. It's on number 6 Harcourt Street, which people might know as Club Juan Marnaguelga. And it's an immersive promenade show and an audio tour. So that means basically that we've recorded the audio beforehand. Mm-hmm. We've mixed the soundscape together, and each person who attends the show will listen to the audio. They'll go through on their own, so it's really kind of intimate experience. And you walk through 8 different sets while you're listening to this 30-minute audio piece, which basically describes the story of a man's life from the 80s in Ireland, moving to England, because he felt he had to leave because he was a gay man, and then coming back to Ireland and all the bittersweet feelings that encompass with that. So it's all in Irish, but there will be an English language script provided as well for people who might need a help with the Cúpla Focal.
Okay, and it's intriguing, and it's very innovating. Is this the first thing of its kind? I like this. You know, it reminded me sort of, sometimes you go to a museum and you get sort of the commentary coming to you. Is it something similar to that?
Yeah, it's a funny one. Basically, we thought of this idea because we run a queer arts collective, myself and my co-founder, Owen McAvoy, and we wanted to tell a story of one of our older members. He's in his 50s, so he's not an actor, but we wanted to use his voice because we felt like that would be the best way. That's the way we heard his story, and that's the way we want audiences to encounter it too. So we thought, what's the best way to do it? So we ran interviews with him, and then we wrote a script based on all the information he'd given us. And thankfully, he was happy with our rendition of life in 30 minutes. So we went to the studio with him and recorded it. So it's his voice that you hear telling his own story as he walked through our sets, which are our interpretations of his memories.
So it's a true story?
It's a true story, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because at first I thought maybe it was an amalgam of different people's experiences.
It's a true story, yeah. Okay, you go on the journey with him.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm sure it must have been different when you think back of the way it was in the 80s here and the changes. But, of course, in England, they were maybe 30 years ahead of us.
Fantastic. You're right. It's horrible, in a way, hearing what Ireland was like in the 80s. Like, when we were doing research for this, I looked back on some of the videos of David Norris, you know, going on television. He was the first ever gay man on Irish television. Mm. And the first question they asked him, are homosexual sick people? You know, I don't know how he had the patience.
Indeed. I mean, I'm just sitting thinking as I'm talking to you as well, and I'm getting little flashes. I mean, I was in England in the 60s, and when I used to hear about, and I remember some certain films that came out. I remember Dirk Bogarde in a movie called Victim and stuff like that. And how just prior to that, it was illegal in England as well, which I found amazing at the time. You know, so they were quite behind as well.
It's interesting to examine the history.
Would you know about America, for instance, now that I mention it, Ciara? Would you know when it came, you know, the legality of coming in America?
I know about the Stonewall riots. I suppose they started the whole kind of modern Pride March or Pride movement that people would kind of remember. They say, remember, the Pride was actually a protest originally because it was a protest against how these people were being treated in New York. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people, trans people, were at the center of that movement from the beginning. So that was kind of the LGBT movement instigation, as far as I understand it. And it took a lot longer to get to Ireland. Of course, it was Homosexual Act were decriminalised in 1993, and things started slowly changing. But really, as we all know, it was the marriage referendum then in 2015 that really changed our country in that way for the better.
Okay, and the narrator on this, does he talk about his feelings and coming back here and seeing the changes, even though he'd been living with the changes for years in London or in England?
Yes, definitely, because he described to us how he'd always been living there, but he felt like he was pushed out of the country. He felt like he had no choice but to leave, and he always wanted to be in Ireland, but he didn't feel there was a life for him here as a gay man. So I think it was gorgeous for him to see the change, but also quite sad because he missed out on a life here that he could have had.
Mm-hmm.
He talked a lot about emotions, yeah.
Yeah. Does the script change in any way? Like myself or yourself, sometimes when you're talking, little reflections come into your head, like just did with me back in London in the 60s. Can it change in that way? Can it be improvised?
No, because it's actually it's pre-recorded, so everyone goes through on their own, but the next person goes 5 minutes after you. So the whole script and the audio and everything is packaged and done, and you actually download it before you get here, but we're asking people not to listen because it'll just ruin the surprise.
Well, I started off with saying, Ciara, that it was unique and it intrigued me. So where did the idea come from for this?
Well, we run this Irish Language Arts Collective of LGBT people, so it's all different types of arts. And we had been speaking to Alan Walpole, he's a central figure of the play, about his life. And we decided, basically, it was around the time that program It's a Sin came out, and it kind of started a lot of conversations with us about what it was like to be gay in Ireland in the 80s. And we decided we wanted to do something more with the show, but we wanted to make it kind of immersive, kind of interesting experience. So it's great because some of the members of our collective have provided art. Tygo Kira is a wonderful artist. He's done art as part of the set. And also Aoife Ní Bhorga, who's a soprano singer, has been singing on some of our amazing soundtracks because we've got kind of 80s synth pop and we have Shano songs and we even have remixes of the two together. So it's a really interesting experience.
And what's the duration of it?
25 minutes.
Okay. But when does it start and how long is it going to run for?
It starts today at 1 o'clock and it's on every day from 1 o'clock until 10 p.m. on Friday, Saturday and Sunday of this week, and then it's gone and we have to take everything, all the sets down that we've been lovingly working on for the last while.
Well, I'm sure that even, I mean, it's on the fridge and what happens with a lot of stuff that's on the fridge, it travels later, especially if it's quite popular and it travels. Are you hoping for that and can you do that?
Yeah, we'd love that actually, and we've even been working with somebody to record kind of a virtual reality version of it, because the space we're in is not wheelchair accessible, unfortunately, so we want to make it so anyone can come, and of course not everyone can travel to Dublin either, so we're looking at different ways to help the show travel afterwards, definitely.
Okay, well, this is coming to me now. When did the idea come to do this? I mean, you said it was pre-recorded, because I'm just thinking of the way we're coming through the COVID there so far and the way things have been relaxed. But to me, this could be done even in some of the restrictions. It's a type of show that could go on.
Yeah, we had that in mind. Even in the show, like, we wanted the people who went through the show to be able to touch things, but we kept in mind the restrictions. So you don't touch things as you go through, but we've made up for that by having smells in the venue. So it goes, you know, works on different senses that are COVID-friendly. Although everyone going through will be wearing a mask, and of course, and they'll sanitize their hands on the way in. So yeah, we did really have COVID in mind because we didn't want to work so hard and then have our show not be able to go on. So we made it COVID-friendly on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, no matter what sort of legislation comes in, as we said earlier, there's still a lot of intimidation and going on out there. So we're hoping to open a conversation and maybe more in the arts about all of the problems that are shown in this.
That's really good, May. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, what's next for you, Ciara?
Well, next I'm working on a TV program for TG Cahir, with some friends of mine. So I'll take a few days break. We'll have time to clean up the set and we'll get writing on that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, I hope to talk to you about that. Give us all the details about this again. If people want to go, is it pre-booked
to
turn up on the night or what?
Yes.
What's the story?
Please pre-book the tickets. There's a show on every 5 minutes from 1 o'clock until 10 p.m. Today, Saturday and Sunday. Today's pretty booked up, though, so maybe Saturday or Sunday if you're looking at coming. And it lasts 25 minutes, and the next person goes 5 minutes after you. So if you bring a friend, they'll go 5 minutes after you, and you can meet them at the end. There'll be some drinks available in the bar. And then you can have a little chat about the show. And it's on in Club Thunder na Gaeilge, which is number 6 Harcourt Street, Dublin City Centre. And it's run by a queer arts collective called Éireacht Atá Gaeilge. Okay. And you can find tickets at fringefest.com.
Okay, continued success. And maybe on your next venture, I'll chat with you again, Ciara. Thank you very much.
Good meeting you, Margaret. No,
bye-bye. And that's Ciara Ní-Éi. And that is going on at the moment in the Fringe Festival.